Well, let's pray and prepare our hearts for the word tonight. Pray with me. Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you always know exactly what we need. I pray, Father, tonight that you'd speak into hearts and lives, and I ask you, Father, that you would just help me, Lord, to just obey you in everything that I say, Lord. I pray, Father, that our ears, the ears of our heart would be open and receptive, Lord, that we might obey and bring glory and honor to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I believe this book. I believe it's for us today. So much so that I think we ought to be doers of the word, of everything that it tells us to do, that we ought to just obey it. We ought to just do what God says in his word. I believe this book so much that every promise that's in here, I think, is for me. I believe it so much that every story in here, I may not have all the answers or have it all figured out, but I believe everything in this book is absolutely true. Now, I think how sad it is for some people who think some of it is true and some of it might be and some of it's just stories. Because if that's where you end up or if that's where you are, then you don't really have anything to stand on. But our God is a rock, and his word doesn't change. It's forever settled in heaven. That's what the Bible says. Declares itself. Heaven and earth will pass away, but not one dot, not one line of this book will pass away. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, the Bible says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." No one can boast. Before a holy God, the Bible tells us in Romans that there are none righteous in our own selves. There are none that are righteous. See, we don't come to God by our righteousness. The Bible says it's as filthy rags. It stinks. We don't come by religion. Religion's just a stumbling block. It'll keep you from getting there. It may look good in the eyes of man, but God sees through it to the heart. We don't come by the wisdom of man or by intellectualism. It'll keep you from accepting Jesus. It's the foolishness of God. Amen. They think it's foolish, but it's God's way to save us. We don't bring our goodness, our deeds, our works. Jesus said there's none good but God. No, we come to him in need of a Savior. We come to him humbly. You can't get into the kingdom with pride. It's part of what Jesus was talking about when he said, unless you become like this little child, you'll no way enter the kingdom. It's part of what he was talking about when he says how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom. He said it's possible with God, but they have to humble themselves. Listen, we all come this way. That you have to come to the place that you can't do it on your own, that you need Jesus. You got to come to the place where you put your faith and trust in him alone and not in any of your own goodness. We come to him broken and contrite. Psalms 51:17 says, "A broken and contrite spirit he will not despise." See, it doesn't matter what your education, what your family background, how much money we have, it doesn't make any difference how popular, how influential you might be, how many degrees you have, what your IQ is. God's not impressed with any of that, is he? Doesn't matter how successful, how strong we are. He doesn't need our... I mean what I'm saying right now. So if it rubs you the wrong way, that's okay with me. You just need to turn around. Because what I'm saying is right. God doesn't need your influence. Now, will God use you in your sphere of influence? Yes. But I'm just telling you, people get this idea like, well, God needs me. In fact, I've heard a popular preacher say it, that God needs me. God needs you. Well, they haven't read the Bible. Because I'm telling you, He does whatever He pleases. And if one person doesn't want to do, He'll raise somebody else up. I'm just telling you. When God uses us, it's us being blessed. It ain't like, oh God, I did something for you. Listen, He doesn't need our influence, our good name. He doesn't need our wisdom, our intellect. He doesn't need our power, our strengths. Listen to me. He doesn't need our strengths. No, He chooses to use us in spite of our weaknesses. 1 Corinthians 1:26 through 31. I'm going to read this from the NIV. It just makes it a little clearer, and especially the last verse, verse 31. The New King James kind of uses a little older vernacular there. It says, brothers, think of what you were when you were called. In other words, when you got saved. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Now, it doesn't say none of you, but it says not many. And the point is that doesn't matter with God. Not many were noble, of noble birth, but God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. He chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are. Listen, why did He do that? Verse 29 tells you, so that no one may boast before Him. Nobody's got any cause to boast, to brag. See, there's no reason for us to ever have pride or be arrogant before God. We don't have anything to boast about before God. No strength, no ability. No matter how good we are, listen, we don't have anything to brag about before the Lord. No one may boast before Him. No one can say, look what I've done. We're in a series on Sundays right now about pride. And this past Sunday, we talked about King Nebuchadnezzar. And he was one of those people. He said, look what I've done. Look what I have accomplished. Look what I have built. But he learned that God was the one who raises up and takes down. We read it Sunday, but I want to read verse 37 of Daniel chapter 4. He says, now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all of whose works are truth and His ways justice, and those who walk in pride He is able to put down. See, Nebuchadnezzar bragged on himself, but he learned to brag on God. And I want to tell you tonight, we need to learn to brag on God. Before you hit rock bottom, before you have to go through a hard time, right? Don't learn it the way Nebuchadnezzar did. No, we just need to brag on God more. I'm telling you, we need to get to the place where we're talking about how good the Lord is all day long. Now, I know the world says, well, it's okay if you believe in Jesus. Yeah, that's nice. Just be quiet about it. I'm telling you, we need to brag on the Lord. We need to boast in what God has done in our life. We need to boast in all the things that He does for us. Listen, He didn't just save us as if that's not enough, but daily He loads us with benefits. He does so many things for us all the time and blesses us. We got a lot to brag about. He's an awesome God. Well, we didn't finish in 1 Corinthians there. Verse 30 says, it is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. If you're going to brag, you better be bragging on God. It's in him we've been made righteous. We've been accepted in the beloved. We've been sanctified. We've been made holy. Listen, it's all his doing. It's him that makes us strong. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We can't take that credit for ourselves. And listen, when we fail, when we struggle, we certainly can't take credit. But sometimes, you see, when we're having success or we're doing well, there's that temptation. Just like with Nebuchadnezzar, just like with so many others, there's that temptation for us to take the glory ourselves. Give all the glory to God. Boast in the Lord. Now, let me just ask you, how many of you here tonight, at some point, God turned your life around? How many of you here tonight have ever been healed? How many of you have been blessed financially? Wow, this is a good crowd, I'm telling you. How many of you have been, now this won't get all of you yet, but how many of you have been blessed with a spouse? How many of you have been cursed with a spouse? No, don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. Do you know the Bible says in Proverbs 18:22, he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. Do you know it doesn't say anything about he who or she who finds a husband like that? I'm just saying, ladies. I'm sorry about that. No, but you see, we just need to give God the credit and give God the glory and brag about the good things that he's done in our life. I mean, if the Lord's blessed you with a good job, you need to brag about how the Lord has blessed you. Not just say, well, you know, I did this and I did that. No, you need to brag about God. Quit taking credit for things that God's done in your life. Go back and read the story of Nebuchadnezzar again. Daniel chapter 4. Listen, he thought it was all him. I'm telling you, we need to brag on God, boast in the Lord all the time. God changed your life, gave you peace. Well, you need to brag about that. The Lord gives you joy. You need to brag about that. When the Lord does something in your family, you need to brag about it. You need to boast in the Lord. See, most of us have so much to brag on God for, and yet we just don't do it near enough. It's all him. It's none of us. I mean, if there's anything good in our lives, it's God. 1 Corinthians 15:10 says, by the grace of God, I am what I am. That's what Paul said. You need to realize, if there's anything good in your life, I'm talking about you as a person, you need to realize that you are what you are by the grace of God. See, in America, we kind of believe in this self-made man thing. And like, if I'm a good person, well, it's because I'm a good person. No, we need to remember, I am what I am by the grace of God. It's God's blessing. It's God's favor. He's still working on us, thank God. Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. What a great verse. We're actually his workmanship. We're his masterpiece. He's working on us. I'm glad he's not finished with me yet. Well, some of you need to tell somebody. Tell somebody next to you, say, he's not finished with me. Amen. Sometimes we need to remember that. God's not finished with people, right? Well, he's not finished with me. I'm his workmanship. He's working on me. Philippians 2:13 says, it's God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. He's working in your life for a purpose. And so we need to remember that it's God who's working in us and making us something. Listen, none of us has arrived. Amen? Now, if you've received Jesus in your life, you're born again, you're a new creation in Christ, you've at least left, but you hadn't arrived yet. No, He's still working on us. And so, apart from Him, we need to remember this. Apart from Him, we still stink. Apart from Him, we can do nothing. Apart from Him, we still have no hope. We're still left undone. Listen, Jesus said in John 15:5, without me, you can do nothing. Now, I figured out that this needs to be clarified because people get a little mixed up about this. Without me, you can do nothing. And you know, people take things sometimes out of context and to such an extreme. Obviously, you can do a lot of things without Jesus. But in the context of what he's talking about bearing fruit in John chapter 15. This whole passage is about bearing fruit. And about bearing fruit is about eternal things. It is about things that have an effect, an impact, that make a difference in eternity. In other words, you can't do anything that really matters apart from Jesus. There's a lot of things you can do. You can do a lot of bad things. You might even do some good things. But apart from Jesus, you can't do anything that makes any difference in eternity. And I'm just telling you, we want our lives to mean something. We want there to be real meaning, real purpose, and make a difference. And we need to remember, apart from Him, we can't do anything. No matter how religious we are, how spiritual we think we are, apart from Him, we can't do anything. I'm talking about bragging on God, because too much of the time, God is moving and working in our lives, and we just don't say enough about what He's doing and give Him enough glory. By the way, we all still struggle. We all have faults and weaknesses. And you know what? You may not see it when you come to church, but everybody here has problems. So tell somebody, the pastor has problems. Go ahead. It's all right. Some of you do it later. You might as well do it right now. Pastor has problems. Yes, he does. What? Now, some of you are going, what's his problem? Do you know? You got problems. Now, some have more problems than others, but listen, none of us is in a place where we can judge or be critical of others, because we all need God's mercy. None of us, listen, has any cause to boast except in the Lord. A lot of time we hide our struggles and our problems and things that we're going through because we're afraid of others judging us. We're afraid of somebody else thinking bad of us. And if we don't watch ourselves, listen, we become critical and judgmental of others. And I'm going to talk about this some on Sunday, but I'm just telling you, the reason that happens is because of pride. Anytime you find yourself being judgmental or critical of others, it's because you got pride in your life. Because believe me, you are what you are by the grace of God. Now, I really like this verse, 1 Corinthians 4:7. It just kind of helps explain some things about why we have no reason to be prideful, but to be humble and to boast in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 4:7, it says, who makes you differ or different from another? Okay, y'all answer this question. Who makes you different from anybody else? That's right. And what do you have that you did not receive? Now, you know what prideful man says? I earned it. I went out and got it myself. Until they lose it, and then they say, well, the Lord took it away from me. Isn't that right? No, what do you have that you didn't receive? I'm telling you, one way or another, you got it from God. You know, Paul says, I worked harder than all the other apostles. Sounds like he's bragging. But then he says, but even that was the grace of God working in me. God gave him that gift. God graced him with the determination to work hard. He didn't just say, it's me. But he gave the glory to God that that was something that God graced him with. And I'm telling you, we need to realize this. We don't have anything in ourselves to brag about, so we need to be bragging about God all the time. Now, if you did indeed receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it? In other words, if you're bragging about your strengths, your abilities, your talents, your intelligence, whatever else, he's saying, why do you brag about it when it's just something you received? So whatever areas we're strong in, we've been blessed in, we need to never boast in ourselves, but boast in the Lord. God blesses us in some area of our life, and we have a few victories in some area. And you know what? There's that temptation to start thinking that we're something. Just brag on God. There's a story of a proud woodpecker who was tapping away on a dead tree when all of the sudden out of the sky came a lightning bolt, and it hit the top of that tree and just shattered it, just splintered it into 1,000 pieces. Well, the woodpecker managed to fly away unscathed, and he boasted to all his friends, look what I did. You know what? That is a picture of a lot of Christians when God shows up in their life and does something in their life, but they don't go tell everybody, look what God did. They say, look what I did. And I'm just telling you, church, we need to be careful that we always brag on the Lord. Every time we have an opportunity, we take the opportunity to give God glory. Heard this a long time ago, but I like it. If you see a turtle sitting on a fence post, you know he didn't get there by himself, right? And when we have been blessed by God, we need to let the world know we didn't get there by ourselves. God did it. You know, people in the world are so quick to brag about what they've done or what they can do. And I see this especially when we're challenged a little bit. I mean, somebody challenges your ego just a little bit, and all of a sudden we want to tell them, we want to prove. We want to defend, and we want to prove what we can do. Talk about our strengths. Don't let yourself get that attitude of the world. You start bragging about your strengths. There's another word for that. It's called pride. The Apostle Paul was trying to make a point to the Corinthians about what our attitude should be. And if you have your Bible, you're going to want to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, because I'm about to read about half the Bible. No, not really, just about a chapter or so. But I do want you to turn there because we are going to read a sizable portion. And again, I'm going to read this passage from the NIV. It's just a little simpler, clearer. He says, I repeat, let no one take me for a fool, but if you do, then receive me just as you would a fool, so that I may do a little boasting. Now, he's already told you this is what a fool would do. Receive me as a fool, so that I can do a little boasting. He's not telling you that we're supposed to boast. He's telling us that a fool will boast. But he's going to act like a fool here. So here he goes. He says, in this self-confident boasting, I'm not talking as the Lord would, but as a fool. Are we pretty clear on that, church? He's talking about fools, amen? And this is what fools do, is they boast. But he's going to do it like a fool. So he says, you gladly put up with fools since you are so wise. In fact, you even put up with anyone who enslaves you or exploits you or takes advantage of you or pushes himself forward or slaps you in the face. To my shame, I admit that we are too weak for that. What anyone else dares to boast about, I am speaking as a fool, I also dare to boast about. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they Abraham's descendants? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I'm out of my mind to talk like this. See, he's given his spiritual pedigree, and yet he's saying, this is the way a fool talks. And I just want you to understand that a lot of the time we start defending ourselves or we start trying to prove ourselves to other people, and we start talking like that. We start talking about our past, what we've done. And listen, he gets worse. Are they servants of Christ? I'm out of my mind to talk like this. I am more. I've worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from the Gentiles, in danger in the city, in the country, and at sea, in danger from false brothers. I've labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I've known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I've been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. Who is weak and I do not feel weak? Who is led into sin and I do not burn inwardly? If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. That's just weird, isn't it? You don't see that in the world. You don't see people boast about their weakness. You don't see them boast about things that show their weakness. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's to be praised forever, knows that I'm not lying. In Damascus, the governor under King Aretas and had the city of Damascus guarded in order to arrest me, but I was lowered in a basket from a window and wall and slipped through the hands of these people. Here we go. Let's go to chapter 12. If I must go on boasting, although there is nothing to be gained, I will go on to visions and revelations from the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up into the third heaven. They didn't even say it was him. He just says, I know a man. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, but God knows, was caught up to paradise. He heard inexpressible things, things that a man is not permitted to tell. I will boast about a man like that, but I will not boast about myself, except about my weaknesses. Even I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool because I would be speaking the truth, but I refrain so that no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say. To keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassing great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Now I want to stop right here. We're going to talk about the thorn in the flesh for about 30 seconds. Everybody wants to argue about what the thorn of the flesh is, and this camp's figured it out, and this camp's figured it out. And I'm just telling you, for tonight's purposes, I don't care. I just want you to see why I had a thorn in the flesh. Because he doesn't tell us exactly what the thorn in the flesh is. And I know some of you are going to feel led to give me your argument later. I don't care. But I'm just going to tell you, what we do know is why he had a thorn in the flesh. He said, to keep me from becoming conceited. You see, to keep him from being puffed up in pride, to keep him from getting to the place where he thought he was something. To keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassing great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. I'm telling you, the Lord doesn't want us to get in pride, because it will destroy you. But notice this. He says, my grace, this is what the Lord said to him, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. See, your weakness is not a problem for God. Your arrogance, your pride, thinking that you're strong is a problem. But your weakness is not a problem for God. He says, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so Christ's power may rest on me. You see, those very areas where you think you're weak or where you struggle, listen, God's power can show up in your life. God is strong in your life in those areas. You see, it's when we think we got this and we don't trust God, we're not looking to God, that's when we're really doing without. No, when we acknowledge that we can't do it without God, we acknowledge that we're weak, that's when God shows up. I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses and insults and hardships and persecutions and difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Now, here's the reason I wanted to go through this passage. We, just the attitude of our culture, it's all around us. People brag and talk about their strengths. We don't talk about our weaknesses. And I'm just telling you, we need to let the world know what a mess we are without Jesus. Well, no, they might think bad of me. No, they'll think more of God. They'll realize it's God working in your life. But here's the other side of that. The more that you boast in your weaknesses and give God the glory, the more God's power shows up in your life. When I'm weak, then I'm strong. Well, let me just brag a little bit on the Lord. I don't deserve to have a wife like I do. Now listen, that's not fake humility. That's sincere truth. I don't deserve to have a wife like I do. I don't deserve to have the kids that I do. Oh, you did such a great job raising them. Listen, if I did anything at all right, it was by the grace of God. But I can tell you this for sure. I did a lot wrong and made a lot of mistakes. It's the grace of God. It's God's doing, not mine. I don't deserve to pastor this church, this great church. Some of you are saying, I've been saying that for years. Some of you are still mad at Brother Nichols for bringing me back. Listen, I'm in agreement with you. It's the grace of God. It's the hand of God. Listen, have you seen my house? I don't deserve to have a house like that. That's the blessing of the Lord. And I'm just telling you, I want to brag on God. Church, we need to do this all the time, that we brag on God in our life and don't take credit for the things that God has done. Oh, listen, I got to get this out. If we just bragged on God just a little bit, see, some of you think you do, but compared to all the great things God does in our lives, and when you read the Bible and you see how awesome God is, listen, compared to how awesome God is, we boast in the Lord very little. And I'm just telling you, if we just start boasting in the Lord, just let people know how good our God is and what He does in our life, and just actually give God credit for the things He's done in our life, there'll be a lot of people want to know more about the one that we serve. You don't have to talk to them about doctrine. You don't have to convince them that you're right about everything. All you have to do is tell them what God has done in your life. Just brag on the Lord. Just boast in the Lord. He deserves it. Many years ago, actor Kevin Bacon had a conversation with his six-year-old son after his son had seen the movie Footloose for the first time. And so his son says, "Dad, that was really cool how you jumped up on the roof and swung from the rafters. How did you do that?" He said, "Well, son, I didn't actually do that part. A stuntman did." He said, "What's a stuntman?" He said, "Well, that's somebody that dresses like me and looks like me, but they do things that I can't do, things that are too dangerous." He said, "Oh, well, what about that part in the movie where you spin around on that gym bar and land on your feet? How'd you do that?" He said, "Well, that was the stunt man again," with his long pause. And then his son says, "Well, Dad, what did you do in the movie?" Now, here's the point I want to make. A lot of the time, if we don't tell people, they think it was us. They think that it's just because we're smart or we're whatever. We need to tell people it wasn't me. It was the Lord. It's the Lord that helped me. We need to give the Lord the credit every time. I just want to boast in the Lord. It is God blessing this church. It's God that made a way for us to build a new building. And people said it would never happen. Well, they were just looking at me. They weren't looking at God. They discounted God in that picture. But I'm telling you, it's God who's bringing a harvest, who's bringing an increase. It's God who's changing lives. Amen. It's God who does all of that. You know, I've actually had some ministers say things to me about, you know, they say, "Well, you know, you're doing a great job. Boy, that's great. Y'all are building a building and, you know, blah, blah, blah." And I say, and they say to me, though, they'll say, "You're doing this. You did a great," and I'll say, "No." I tell them very plainly, "Oh, this is something God's doing." Some of them argue with me and they say, "Yeah, but, you know, God, you know, you're doing it. You know, God's using you." And I appreciate what they're saying, but I'm just telling you, it's all God. He's doing it. And we need to boast and brag about the Lord in everything that we do. Psalms 44 and 8, "In God we boast all day long and praise your name forever." All day long, that's a good thing to do. Something good happens. If something good happens, somebody gets the credit. So make sure it's God. Amen. David liked to brag on the Lord. You know, before he killed Goliath, he had a conversation with King Saul where King Saul says, "You know, you can't fight this guy. You're just a boy. You can't go out against this guy." And, you know, what most teenage boys would have done in that situation? "Oh, yeah? You just don't know what I've done before. I could whoop you, old man." Come on, have you talked to some teenage boys? They say that's one reason the military likes to get men when they're so young is because they think they're invincible. But did you know David didn't say anything about his ability, his prowess, and what he could or couldn't do? He said, well, I'll just read it to you. It's 1 Samuel 17:37. "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he would deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." Now, you know the way most people would have told that story. "I killed a bear. I killed a lion. How's this going to be a problem for me?" He said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." He gave all the glory to God. Now, when David goes out to fight Goliath, Goliath makes fun of him. He disdained him. He ridiculed him. He made fun of him because he was just a boy. And again, there's that temptation. Now, when somebody starts putting you down and saying, you can't do this and you can't do that, or you don't know what you're doing, we all know there's that inside, that little pride starts wanting to say, oh yeah, let me tell you, I can, I did this, I know how. David didn't do that. Here's what he said. Starts in verse 45. You come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you with a sling, and I am one bad dude with a sling. No, it didn't say that. He says, I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. That's one of my favorite verses. I will strike you and take your head from you. I think that's all. Anyway, and this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines and the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Not that all the earth will know that I am the baddest of the bad. No. See, that's what we hear all the time in our world. They're always bragging, always boasting in themselves. In church, we can't be like that. We got to boast in our God. Give God all the glory. Just talk about how good the Lord is. Well, you know, this is just the beginning in all the great things that God did in David's life. I think part of the key is that David bragged on God. He didn't take the glory for himself. So it was, I got to read the rest of the story. So it was when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, that David hurried and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. Then David put his hand in his bag, took out a stone, and he slung it and struck the Philistine in the forehead so that the stone sank into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and he struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood over the Philistine, took his sword, and drew it out of its sheath, and killed him and cut off his head with it. Awesome. And David gave all the credit to God. You know, that's just a pattern in David's life. Here's a psalm that he wrote in Psalm 34, verse 1 through 3. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. See, all the time. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. The humble will hear it and be glad. I tell you, we just need to brag on God all the time. Give Him all the praise. You know, He said, His praise will continually be in my mouth. You know what that means? That means that He wasn't repeating the evening news. I'm just telling you, He wasn't repeating the latest gossip. He wasn't repeating all the negative, bad things going on in the world. Because you can't talk that way. In fact, you can't even think that way and be praising God continually out of your mouth. What I'm saying to you, church, is we need to be boasting in the Lord, talking about all the good things that God's doing. There's lots of people talking bad, talking negative all the time. Anybody can do that. Any old carnal-minded fool can do that. And they may like it if you join in with them. And they may not like it if you start bragging on God. But I can tell you this, there will be some people who want what you have. Some people will be stirred and moved to want to know more about the God who's done such great things in your life. And we just, you know, we need to watch ourselves that we don't get caught up in that negative talk and always talking. But instead, you see, we boast in the Lord, brag on God, and like David, His praise is continually in our mouth. Now, you ought to be praying every day, amen? And when God answers your prayer, you better give Him the praise. See, a lot of times people pray and they believe God, they ask God, and then when things happen, when things come in place and God does what they prayed about, it's like, well, thank you, Lord. That's it. They don't tell anybody. I'm telling you, you need to let people know when God answers your prayer. Be sure you brag on God when He does something for you. You pray for healing, you get healed. Well, you need to brag on God. You get a raise at work. Well, I've just been working hard. I've been doing a good job. No, you need to brag on God. You better hope it ain't just up to you. I'm telling you, you need to give God the glory. Every time God answers a prayer, you brag on Him. I said this earlier. I want to say it one more time. If we just gave God credit for the things that He's done in our lives, I'm telling you, there'd be so many people coming to the Lord wanting to know this God who does such great things in the lives of His people. See, they don't hear that much. They need to, church. They need to know we got to boast in the Lord. Brag on God. Don't boast about your strengths. Listen, you boast in your weaknesses so that He can be strong in you. Let Him show up in your life. Let others see what God's doing in you. Boast in the Lord. Well, stand with me. And as we end this service tonight, I just encourage you, whatever's good in your life, whatever answers to prayer, whatever things God has blessed you with, you let people know. Amen. Look for that opportunity to do it, to brag on God. So much to boast in, so much to brag on. You know, all through the Bible, there's places where it talks about how we're supposed to praise Him and give Him glory. And just want to share one more with you before you go. Psalms 5 and verse 11. Let all those rejoice who put their trust in You. Let them ever shout for joy. Let them ever shout for joy. Amen. Well, church, we need to give the Lord praise that He deserves. Always boast. Always brag on Him. Don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid to talk about the Lord, but give Him glory. Father, I just thank You for the word to us tonight. And Lord, I ask You to forgive us, Lord, for times when we have been neglectful, or times when, Lord, that instead of bragging on You, Lord, we allowed our pride to get in the way and we took the credit. Forgive us, Father. I pray, Father, that there just be a new move in our midst, Lord, of lifting up the Lord and bragging on God. And Lord, that in the marketplace and out around unbelievers and those that are away from You, I pray, Father, that You just put the right words in us to turn their hearts to You, to turn the attention to You, Lord, as You are so good. And Father, we just want to boast in You. In Jesus' name, be glorified in us. Amen. Amen. We'll love one another, bless one another as you go. If you need prayer tonight, I'd be glad to pray with you. Lord bless you.